The Iraqi government backed away this week from statements that Saddam Hussein would face trial within the next 2 months. When Hussein and his top generals finally do appear before an independent Iraqi tribunal, they're certain to face a multiplicity of charges, including genocide against the Kurdish people of northern Iraq. Most prominently, Ali Hassan al-Majid, better known as Chemical Ali, is thought to be responsible for the horrific 1988 chemical attack at Halabja in Iraq, which killed more than 5,000 Kurds. But that campaign began almost a year before that. On April 16, 1987, the Iraqi government bombed two small Kurdish villages in northern Iraq, Balizan and Sheikh Wasan, with mustard gas. Those villages were apparently a testing ground for future attacks. NPR's Jackie Leiden reports.
The Balisan Valley is an emerald ribbon of color beneath crags of slate gray in northeastern Iraq. Its narrow 10-mile length is cinched in by mountain walls, which rise steeply on either side, a dramatic panorama. At Balisan, there's a small sun-bleached cemetery and a tiny tin painting of planes dropping bombs. A sign declares that here lie the martyrs of the towns of Balisan and Sheikh Wasan and lists their collective death date of April the 16th, 1987. On this most recent April 16th, jaunty, patriotic music jolts through the valley. Hundreds of people are gathered in commemoration on the hillside above the cemetery. The festival atmosphere, the sun sparkling on a cloud of billowing sequin dresses, contrasts with the horror of what happened here. Faki Sheikh Wasani's father is buried, or rather represented, in the cemetery. There are just 23 commemorative graves to represent 233 missing people.
They didn't recognize their bodies here, but just by their head and by their arms and feet they has recognized, but the other parts of the body has been mixed together. They recognized the child by their small heads.
By 1987, the Kurds had been fighting for an independent state in Iraq for decades. The Kurdish militia, called the Peshmerga, meaning he who faces death, had made rural Kurdistan a no-go area for the Iraqi army. At the same time, Iraq's army was fighting a death match with Iran in the final phases of a brutal 8-year war that ended in 1988. Iraq was bombing the Kurds in the Balisan Valley with napalm. Kurdish civilians sheltered in caves during the day and farmed at night. Then Baghdad began a campaign to eradicate all the Kurds along a broad swath of the no-go area that included the Balisan Valley. That campaign came to be known as Anfal. It began at Sheikh Wasan. Planes appeared overhead, making a circle of vapor trails, an aerial target. From within the target, there was a rain of canisters and muffled explosions. Villagers breathed in a sweet odor like that of fermenting apples. Goli Omar Aziz, a 55-year-old widow, says through a translator that it was drizzling that April night, or more people would have been outside.
It was evening, it almost became dark, and 12 aircraft came and bombing by chemical weapons, and one of those bombs crashed my brother's house, and my brother has been killed, and people are escaping, they don't know where they will go.
The Iraqi government had used mustard gas associated with the trenches of World War I. The symptoms take several hours to appear. Fatma Ibrahim, another widow, was in Sheikh Wasan. No one knew what had happened until the children, who were most affected, began to vomit and tear up.
My son has been infected by his eyes and he can't see anything. There was an elder man there. He took his hand and take him to that cave. So he stayed there for 3 days. I saw him, his face became very black and he can't see. He was very weak and he can't do anything. He was in very bad condition.
The gas, heavier than air, made a deadly descent through the valley. One Peshmerga, who'd been surveying the scene from a lookout post, held a wet cloth over his head. Asad Goze raced down the mountain to lead villagers to nearby caves. For many, it was too late.
Ahmed Rush's wife was pregnant, and she started having labor. Well, there was nothing to take care of her. And in the village of Sheikh Wasan, it happened to several other women, and several women gave birth. And they named most of these people. Probably in the list you will see the babies are named chemia, which is chemical, because they were born and died on the same day. So instead of giving them another name, they named them all chemical.
People tried to drag themselves into the stream beds. Some lay there, burned entirely through the throat where they'd inhaled. Atiye Salehi is a doctor in the northern Kurdish city of Erbil. She was on duty at Erbil Republic Hospital when, 2 days after the attack, Iraqi security dumped hundreds of desperate people in the hospital's reception hall. They looked as though they'd been through a fire. She suspected chemicals. The doctors weren't allowed near. That the onfall was intended to kill Kurdish civilians, as well as fighters, became clear when, after denying the victims treatment, the Iraqi security rounded them up and hauled them away in trucks.
Women and children were dragged into the lorry, and we don't know why these were treated like the most noxious insect. You cannot treat like this, like cockroaches were treated. After that, we heard from the Kurdish soldiers, and they said they buried them alive. A hole was digged in the ground and disappeared.
To destroy evidence of a chemical weapons attack, the dead were thrown into a pit in Erbil and then covered with asphalt. It is these remains which are now reburied at Balisan Cemetery. But for many Kurds, the attack and what followed stand as testament to the West's complicity with Saddam Hussein. Barham Saleh, now planning minister in Iraq, was in London representing the Kurdish government when he heard what had happened.
When we got news of the chemical attack at Sheikh Wasanan in the Balisan Valley, I immediately began writing to members of parliament, to the press. The response was abysmal. Very few people would care. I remember at the time the Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher, and her response was quite painful, I have to say. The language, if I remember paraphrasing it correctly, while we recognize that there are human rights violations in Iraq, it's very difficult to corroborate.
In fact, Kurdish intelligence shared news of the Balisan attack with the United States, according to a former Senate investigator. But in 1987, the United States and England supported Iraq against Iran, despite Iran's complaints that Iraq was using chemical weapons. Just 11 months after the chemical assault at Balisan and Sheikh Wasan, more than 5,000 Kurds were killed in a mass gassing at Halabja. Washington condemned the attack, but muted the criticism when it accused both Iraq and Iran of using chemical weapons. The onfall continued. Barham Saleh.
Somehow the human rights of the people of Kurdistan and the Iraqi people were somewhat of a nuisance because it did not fit into the overall scheme of things that Saddam Hussein was seen as a bulwark against Iran. Saddam Hussein represented an opportunity for investment. The Arab world was totally on the side of Saddam Hussein, protesting interference in domestic Iraqi affairs. And I always think that had the world acted at the time and took those reports seriously, perhaps the massacre of Halabja would not have taken place.
The architect of the chemical campaign was entirely confident of the world's indifference. Ali Hassan al-Majid had been appointed to the Ba'ath Party chairmanship in northern Iraq in March of 1987. A tape thought to be from that time records him speaking to his commanders about his intentions for the Kurds.
I will kill them all with chemical weapons. Who's going to say anything? The international community? Damn them. The international community and those who listen to them.
Between 70 and 100,000 people were killed in the eradication campaign, according to Human Rights Watch. Kurdish leaders insist the number is far greater. They also dispute the number of chemical attacks in 1987 and 88. Human Rights Watch says there were 40. The Kurds say there were five times that many. But both say Anfal was genocide. Joost Hilterman, formerly of Human Rights Watch, helped research 18 tons of Iraqi documents brought out of Kurdistan in 1991. The records show, he says, that the United States ignored warnings that Saddam Hussein was using chemical weapons.
He wasn't criticized from the first day he started using chemical weapons, and the fact that from that day on, Iraq started escalating the use of chemical weapons.
And Iraq improved the killing power of its chemicals with each new attack. And it all began with the mustard gas at Sheikh Wasan.
graduating to more lethal chemical agents and targeting ever more larger population groups, first Iranian soldiers, then Kurdish guerrillas, and then eventually Kurdish civilians. They were experimenting. Every single attack was in effect an experiment. And for example, they used Tabun, a nerve agent, for a while, but then that proved to be not so useful. And then they moved on to sarin. And then sarin was not doing the trick. And then they moved on to VX. And they were started working on biological weapons at the time as well. And it's certainly the first case in world history in which chemical weapons were used against civilian population, where civilians were targeted. Certainly no effort was made to distinguish between civilians and combatants.
This is a picture of my husband, Khalid Abdullah Wasso. This is his brother, Saeed Abdullah Wasso, another brother, Mahmoud Abdullah Wasso.
2 years ago in Sheikh Wasan, survivors built a small white shrine. In it, families have grouped photos of those who were lost. Where there is no photo, there's a drawing of a rose and a name. There is a profusion of roses. Bahia Mustafa, a 55-year-old widow, points out family pictures so faded they look like daguerreotypes. Her face, drawn and pinched beneath heavy black brows, is engraved by suffering.
This picture, Mohammed Mustafa Mahmoud, her brother. This is my sister, Zuleika Mustafa Mahmoud. This is my cousin, Usman Karim Mahmoud. This is my cousin also, Maryam Majid Salim. And my another cousin, Majid Salim Mahmoud.
Justice has not come, she said. And even if it does, she wants revenge.
I swear to God, I will never forgive him under any circumstances. For 18 years, I have taken care of 12 family members on my own. There is nothing left of me. My life now is torture. I want to chop up Chemical Alley into tiny pieces.
Today, Iraq cannot identify all those in its mass graves, all those who have disappeared not only during Anfal, but many other mass murders. Bakhtiar Amin, a Kurd who served as Iraq's human rights minister, puts the number of dead and missing at 2 million. Nothing has been done for any of the victims, he says, though he suggested a portion of oil revenues be set aside in compensation. There's no special treatment for complications of chemical weapons. There are no cancer hospitals, no DNA testing. And justice has been a long time coming.
We have never tried anyone in this part of the world for genocide or violations of international conventions. And it's important that we are not waiting much longer. 2 years have gone. And the world and the Iraqis have been waiting. Victims have also limits to their patience. And in order to avoid a cycle of violence and vendetta, in order to heal these nations' wounds and to reconciliate this nation, you need to bring before justice those who have blood of hundreds of thousands of Iraqis on their hands.
Today, the valley's majestic, powerful beauty belies the poisoning that's spewed here from the sky. Some survivors have returned, many never left. What the villagers want most is acknowledgement. Halabja, they say, is well known. Their suffering is obscure. They are the people of Sheikh Wasan and Bali San, who suffered Saddam Hussein's first chemical attack on civilians, out of sight, below broad mountain walls that appear to go on forever. Jackie Leiden, NPR News.
Our story was produced by Peter Breslow. Photos from Balizan are on our website, npr.org. You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.